Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Georgia experienced record voter turnout and participation rates in the 2020 election cycle. Approximately two-thirds of eligible voters in the state cast a ballot in the November election, just over the national average. This is cause for celebration. But then in March of 2021, Georgia's legislature passed SB 202. Many of that law's provisions make it harder for people to vote. The complaint alleges that the state enacted those restrictions with the purpose of denying or abridging the right to vote on account of race or color.
That is U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland talking today about the decision for the Justice Department to sue the state of Georgia over their new elections laws. We will talk to Bert Olson about that. But first, a couple lines from Mark Brown's column today in the Chicago Sun-Times. Former Cook County Sheriff Michael Sheehan is the latest Illinois politician to cash out his campaign fund by pocketing the balance. Sheehan, who is also the 19th Ward Alderman, paid himself $392,606 in January out of his Citizens for Michael Sheehan campaign committee before closing its books 15 years after he left office. Well, here's the thing. The guy who told him to do that is Bert Olson, and he's on the phone with us now. Explain yourself.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Bert? It's nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you again. I've represented Mike since the days he was an alderman, and close personal friends, so you have full disclosure here, and friends because he's probably the most decent, honorable elected official I've ever dealt with in 49 years.
Well, as long as let me start with that. As long as we're doing disclosure, I covered Michael Sheehan. I knew him when he was sheriff.
Okay.
Even a bit while he was alderman, and he was always wonderful to deal with, and I always felt like he was on the up and up. One of the good guys. So this is nothing really. This is nothing about him, really, is it? This is about how sort of fetid the old state election laws were.
Yeah, that is correct. So back in the day, the General Assembly passed a law that said that anything in your account as of June 30th, 1998, you could take. For yourself, pay taxes and put in your pocket. So if you go back to June 30th of 1998, I think Mike had close to $600,000 in his account. So that, which he could have availed himself to. After he retired 15 years ago, there was about $900,000 in his account. But he chose not to take the money. Instead, since that time, probably 98% of the funds that he's expended, which is over $500,000, have gone to Catholic Charities, Misericordia, all the area high schools, Brother Rice, Marist, Macaulay, law enforcement folks who have fallen on hard times, and there's fundraisers, countless number of charities, with the only political contributions being to within his 19th ward and a couple of other dear friends. But the very big bulk of that money has gone to charity, which, as you know, Mike, falls right in line with what Mike was all about.
People might remember, if they've forgotten, Mike Sheehan was a Big Ten official, football official for many, many years.
Yes. Many, many years he was. Another thing that doesn't pay a whole lot of money, but he had a passion for it and gave his time. And those of us who know him well still call him Coach, because he coached throughout his career, in the neighborhood, and still coached, grandkids and things like that. So we affectionately still call him Coach.
Okay.
Legally, he could take what was there. Those of us close to him have been urging him to take it and pay taxes on it. So finally he did. After 15 years, he took the $392, and something that Mark Brown didn't fully disclose, about a third of that went to the government. It's taxes. The money that money that the government never would have had if Mike Sheehan had given it to politicians.
We've established that Sheehan is wearing a halo over his head, but Brown also points out, but he also points out, you know, that he is getting about $2.25 million a year in pensions from his county pension and his city pension. So, you know, he's certainly benefiting from that as well. Again, if I was in that situation and that was my pension, I wouldn't turn it down. So I don't fault him for that. It's just an example of some of the things that need to be cleared up. And a lot of them that have been, right? How many other so Sheehan was grandfathered in, right? How many more are out there?
Yes. Yeah, not a lot, because it's all, I think Brown said, told me, I don't know if it was in the article or not, there's about 55 who have availed themselves of that, but very few of late, because it's just, you know, it's petered out, so all those accounts and all those people are gone. One other point I really want to make, Mike Sheehan used the money for what I said. He didn't use it for a criminal defense fund, which we've seen some politicians use.
How much did he pay his election lawyers over the years?
That's a joke, because he paid me, when he closed his account out, he sent me a check for about $2,200 or $2,600. And I had represented him for all these years since 1990s for that $2,200 that he sent me.
Oh, you guys are friends.
We're very close friends, because he's a true public servant, a guy who served the county and the city and the state well. So does he deserve this money? I would challenge anyone who ever gave him or his account money to come forward and say that he shouldn't have this money after he paid all that money in taxes and to charities.
All right. So
I told Mark Brown, you don't like the law, get off your butt and go change the law. It's the law.
Okay, let's move on. The Merrick Garland, we started the segment with that, and they're the Justice Department suing the state of Georgia, I'm assuming on civil rights grounds.
Voting Rights Act.
What are their chances?
Violation of the Voting Rights Act.
What are their chances?
Their chances on a couple of the counts are good, on other counts not good. And I say that because if you listen to Garland and you look at the press releases, they have to prove, the government has to prove that these changes in law were done because of race, in an attempt to deprive a certain class of people the right to vote. It's a very high burden. I must say this, though, in reading the 100 pages of legislation and the recaps, there's a lot of good stuff in the bill. And I say this to compliment Illinois, because they've passed law in the Senate bill to come up to our standards. For instance, counting votes as they come in, tabulating them as they come in weeks before the election, so on election night they don't just start counting them.
So,
which they've done a lot of good things here, but there are a couple things that the General Assembly in Georgia could not do.
Well, so they've limited the number of drop boxes, right? They've cut down on the early voting in runoff elections. There's this idea that people can't feed or give water to people waiting in line for...
That's ridiculous. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Wait, what's ridiculous? I mean, that they're suing over that, or that it's in the law?
It's ridiculous they're suing over that. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous that it's in the law. You certainly can give water and food to people in line. You certainly can do that. That's stupid. But on the other hand, it is a legislative act and the right of the General Assembly to shorten the deadline to request absentee ballots, to limit the number of drop boxes. That's which the Constitution, the United States Constitution, gives the states the rights to regulate their own elections.
And if it applies to all voters, how is it discriminatory against one particular race or another? You said there are some areas where they might do well. What are those areas?
They can start counting ballots weeks before election day.
No. I mean, I'm sorry, Bert. I'm going to interrupt you, but we just have a minute or so. But no, where would the U.S. Justice Department's grounds be strongest in this suit?
Where they can prove that the law was passed to discriminate against a particular race.
Where in the law is that? I mean, what would they go after to say this is what they did? This is why they did it.
Well, the shortening of the deadline to request absentee ballots to 11 days. If they can prove that Georgia did that because minorities can't get to the mailbox or to the drop boxes soon enough, that could be a problem. Limitation on the county's use of absentee ballots. The county can do that unless they're doing it for the specific reason that people can't get to the boxes.
Yeah, I mean,
in other words, there's things in here. The requirement that voters who don't have identification issued by the driver's facility, that's very problematic how the Georgia legislature has set that up.
Maybe that's their strongest. If they can prove that a larger number of minority voters don't have legal ID, maybe that's something they can go after. Bert Oldelson, one of the best election lawyers in the state, if not the entire land. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
I appreciate it. I always enjoy talking to you, Bert. We'll do it again soon.
Enjoy talking to you. Thanks, Steve.
You're listening to the afternoon news here on 720 WGNR. We're going to check in on your money coming up with John Beaver just around after the news, I should say, and the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom after this.
Chicago's favorite.